Tonight, our speaker is Brother Heath Stapleton. He's also with Brown Trail. He serves as Director of Development. Brother Heath will talk about Awake Out of Your Sleep, about being at peace with God. Let's hear from you, Brother Heath. We're ready.
In Hebrews chapter 13, in verses 20 through 21, the Bible says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Friends, do we not share a desire to be the very best that we can be for Christ, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18? Do we not desire to do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith, Galatians 6 and verse 10? Do we not desire to let our light shine, to draw all men to Jesus, Matthew 5 and verse 16, and to love in such a way that by this shall all men know we are his disciples, John 13, 33 to 35. Which essentially means that we love in such a way that others will be desirous of it. Don't you want to go through those open doors? Don't you want to see the doors that God has opened for you? Don't you want to do more for Him? To be more efficient for Christ? To glorify His most holy name? Well, Hebrews chapter 13 ends with a short but yet very powerful prayer in verses 20 to 21 that can help motivate us. It is a short hymn of praise. In technical terms, it's called a doxology. And it's one of the great doxologies in the entire Bible. And it teaches us three things about God. It teaches us, number one, what God's will is for us, what God's will is to us, and what God's will is through us. And once we understand this wonderful hymn, this short hymn of praise to God, it should inspire in us deep emotions of love and gratitude, where we are simply ready to turn our will into His will. But notice here in verse 20, it is the God of peace who wants to do for us and to us and through us great things. The God of peace who speaks peace unto his people. Psalm chapter 85 and verse 8. Who sent his son, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9 and in verse 6. Where through the words of peace that come from the Father that were sent to through his Son to us, if we are obedient to them, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1, we can be justified by faith and have peace with God. So the God of peace speaks words of peace so that we can be at peace with him. And this peace that God is offering us today, it's not a subjective peace where I just feel good. It is an objective peace. It is an end of warfare. Meaning, if I am in sin, I am at war with God. He has drawn his sword, and he's waiting for the great day of judgment. But because of what God has done for me, and to me, and wants to do through me, if I am in Christ, obedient to his plan, he has taken that sword, put it back in his sheath, and now all can be well with my soul. But notice who this peace is through in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. This peace is through none other than Jesus, the one who is sitting on the right hand of the Father, Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. Serving as the only mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And he is there interceding for those who are in Christ. He intercedes on the right hand by reminding the Father when the Father sees him that he died for those that call out his name, that he dies for those who obey him, that he died and he now serves and will serve forever for those who remain faithful to him. The reality is, my friends, Jesus is there, and he's constantly reminding the Father to complete in those who have faithfully called upon the name of the Lord the Bible way, to complete in those that which the Father has started. So though we may live in a world of conflict and turmoil, pain and death, wars and rumor of more wars, the Lord of peace can give you peace so long as you align yourself with him. Well, what does the God of peace want to do for us? Well, first, we can see that the God of peace in Hebrews 13 and verse 20, he wants to provide a resurrection. He wants to provide you a resurrection. In Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 18, Jesus appears standing, holding the keys of hell and death, and he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Up from the grave he arose. And as we see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, through that resurrection, he was declaring to be the Son of God with power. I don't know if you realize this, but as great as the book of Hebrews is, one of the great doctrinal treaties that we have, the resurrection is only specifically mentioned here. And I feel sometimes, because of repetition, maybe we tend to forget what the resurrection really means. Well, according to Romans 1 and verse 4, the resurrection legitimizes everything pertaining to Jesus. Through the resurrection, the Father was acknowledging him to eternity, that he is the only begotten. The resurrection was, and it is, a public demonstration to the world that he was indeed the promised Messiah, the Son of God. So between planet Earth and heaven is the resurrection. If you want peace with God above, it starts with the resurrection. Now death, well, that's Satan's trump card. And as far as those who are in Christ, death means nothing to us because we know we shall live. But death, for people that are outside of Christ, well, they fear it. How do you think the mafia stays in power? How do you think drug lords control their territory? How do you think ISIS was able to conquer so much land in such a short amount of time? It is the fear of death. The fear of death will conquer and silence good people. The fear of death allows evil people to flourish. But since Jesus was risen from the dead, this tells us so much more that a great man died and rose again. This tells us that he is absolutely sovereign. This tells us about the power of God. And if God can raise people from the dead, is there anything he can't do? Is there any promise that he can't fulfill? When Jesus was asked to prove who or what he was, well, Jesus knew there was one sign that would prove who he was better than all of the rest. And that was, as Jonah was in the belly of the big fish for 3 days, Jesus would be in the heart of the earth and arise. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. On another occasion, as Jesus was referring to his body, he was with his friends in John chapter 2, and he was pointing at the temple. And you know what they say about pointing. You point at one hand, at one finger at something, but the other three are pointing back to yourself. And Jesus was pointing at the temple, and he said, you destroy this temple. Pointing back at himself, he said, in 3 days I will raise it up. John chapter 2. and verse 19. And if this can be done, my friends, then it verifies. It verifies, number one, that God has all power. And if God has all power, then number two, he can keep all the promises that he has ever made. Therefore, the resurrection that the God of peace has provided, it legitimizes everything that Jesus has ever said and has ever done. The God of peace, what does he want to do for you? He wants to provide for you a resurrected Lord. Secondly, we can see what the God of peace wants to do for you, and that is in Hebrews 13 and in verse 20. Notice he wants to provide a great shepherd. He wants to provide a great shepherd. You know, we all have heard about the inability and the ignorance of sheep. And I don't think for one moment that we are as dumb as sheep. But spiritually, at times, you do have to scratch your head and wonder. But to understand the great shepherd concept, there's no other place to turn to but the Psalm 23. And in Psalm chapter 23, we can see here what God wants to do for us. In verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want for anything, temporally speaking. In Christ, all of our earthly needs will be met. In Matthew 6 and in verse 33, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God, all of these things will be added. What things? The things that he previously spoke about in this chapter. Things like rain and sun, food, clothing, and shelter. But not only does he provide for our temporal needs, but more importantly, the God of peace provides us with our spiritual needs, spiritual blessings from above. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Things like redemption, reconciliation, mediation, peace. And God provides these things so well that there is absolutely nothing in this realm and in the next realm to fear if we are in Christ. And that is why the psalmist said in Psalm 23 and in verse 4, for I will fear no evil. That is why he said in verse 5 that my cup overfloweth. Friends, what does the God of peace want to do for us? Well, he wants to provide for those who love him a great shepherd. A great shepherd who will provide our every need and has evidenced that by being willing to even lay down his life for his sheep. The third thing that the God of peace wants to provide for those that are in this world today that can be accepted by those in Christ, in chapter 13 and verse 20 of the great book of Hebrews, the blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant. If we want to understand that phrase, the blood of the covenant, then my friends, we have to go back, way back to Exodus. In Exodus chapter 24, God and Israel are at Sinai, and God is there to give him his covenant. You see, they are there after generations of slavery. And they're enjoying freedom for the very first time. And now God wants to solidify the tribes of Israel as his chosen people. So Moses calls all of them together. And he lets the assembly know. And they are reminded. They saw the things. They know what God has done for them. They saw the plagues. They saw the sea that was split open and God saved them. They saw it when God took bitter water and he made it sweet to taste. They saw the manna from heaven. They knew it was God, the God of peace, leading them by a cloud at day and a pillar of fire at night. And to evidence what he wanted to do for them, in chapter 24 and in verse 8, notice the Bible says Moses took blood, he sprinkled it on the people and said, look, this is the blood of the covenant. You see, this blood symbolized three things. And that is, number one, they were God's covenant people. Number two, God would keep his word. And number three, that there are better days ahead of them. The next time this phrase, the blood of the covenant, is used is found in the book of Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 11, the great prophet wrote, "Because of the blood of the covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit." And the next time we see this phrase used in inspiration is found in Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 28, where Jesus, our Lord, was instituting the Lord's Supper. And when he used this phrase, the blood of the covenant, it would have reminded the Bible scholars that were there, the scholars of the Old Testament, it would have reminded them of these historical moments all the way back to Exodus 24. And when Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you," Jesus was saying that I am giving you the blood that will make everything right, that can give you peace with God. I am giving you the blood that will take you out of the pit of despair where there is no hope. And through my blood, I can now provide hope, peace. Now get this. What is God doing here in Hebrews 13 and verse 20? What God is doing here is he is lining up a bunch of really great ideas for the purpose of building us a safe place. A place of peace. You know, friends, life is hard. And Satan is good at his job. And sometimes we can get in such a rut that our faith will start to waver. But with these points that there is a God of peace who provides a resurrection and a good shepherd in the blood of the covenant, with these points, God is providing us a safe place. A place of peace that we can run to and stand in. And if we do, then we can know, as we sing, it indeed can be well with our souls. Have you ever played tag? I don't play tag anymore. If I did it now, I'd probably break a hip. But I remember the good old days. And remember bass? And remember how safe you felt when you were at or on base? You were at peace with the situation. But remember how anxious you felt when you were away from base, and all of a sudden the man that was it, who may have been faster than you, shiftier than you, and they're coming after you. You are target number one. And remember what it felt like when you were able to juke them just a bit, and to get to base. Remember the peace that you felt? These points. There is a God of peace who provides a great shepherd, who provides a covenant relationship with his blood and a resurrection. These are our spiritual bases. They're here. They're eternal knowledge to give us peace. And once we understand the truth found within Hebrews 13 and verse 20, then Satan, bring it. Because as long as we are on base, then nana, nana, boo, boo, there is nothing Satan can do to you, to anyone. It reminds me of Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. Here Abraham, or God, was about to make a covenant with Abraham. Abraham slaughtered some animals. He divided the carcasses. There was blood everywhere, and Abraham was standing in the middle of those carcasses. And then God appears, and Abraham is circumcised, and he bleeds as well. And what God was doing to Abraham at that moment was he was driving a huge stake in the ground. He was driving a safe place, a huge monument. That way, whenever things got rough in Abraham's life, when things didn't make sense, Abraham could go back to that moment. Remember what happened in Genesis chapter 15, and remember that he has peace with the Father. You have places like that on planet Earth, don't you? Maybe for you women, maybe it's where your husband proposed to you. You drive by that place and you have peace. You're reminded of the good things. Maybe it may just be where you delivered your first child, and whenever you drive by that hospital, it just makes you smile. It may be the river or the creek where you were baptized into Christ, and ever so often you drive by that spot, you just feel this sense of peace. The reality is, my friends, we have precious memories. Precious memories that reminds us of simpler times and better days and pure love. And these points here are places, they're memories, they're safe places, they're places of peace that can help ground you and make you feel safe and secure. Friends, that God is the God of peace who provides all this. A great shepherd that laid down his life and rose again. This is our Genesis chapter 15 moment. And whenever things in life gets a little rocky, whenever things are shaky, whenever our faith is growing weak, then grab hold of these doctrines. Gain the support that God desires for us to do so. Will life always make sense? Probably not. Sometimes you may not feel very saved. Sometimes you may not feel presentable to God. But let's never overlook what God has done for us. He's provided us the best that the world has ever seen. So what has God done for us? The God of peace. The God of peace has provided us a resurrection, a great shepherd in the blood of the covenant. Well, then, what has God done to us? Well, in verse 21, the Bible teaches us what he's done to us, and that is, he's made you perfect in every good work. The God of peace has made you perfect in every good work, meaning he has equipped you to remain in a relationship of peace with him. He's equipped you with everything that you need to get the job done. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And in verse 17, this scripture can thoroughly furnish us unto all good works. The New American Standard says that inspiration was given so that the Son of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You see, friends, God has given us everything that we need today. He's not withholding anything that we need to get the job done. You know, there is nothing worse than being commissioned to do a job and not being provided the proper resources you need to get the job done. There's nothing worse than that. But God doesn't treat us that way. He equips us with all that we need. You know, America has a fascinating history. And one thing that's always bothered me, though, about this great land is that from time to time, we commission civil servants, those who go to battle for us, or police officers, or firemen, or teachers in the school system. We commission them to do certain jobs, but because of politics and corruption, we don't always give them what is necessary to get the job done. And how horrible it is when we have young men and women who are willing to stand on the wall to protect our freedoms, and because of politics or budget cuts or whatever, they don't have what they need to get the job done. And it's even worse when they come home to us hurt or maimed or even worse in body bags. But friends, that is not so with God. God has equipped us thoroughly, fully. He has not pulled us up out of the watery grave and tied our hands behind our back, slapped us on the back, and said, children, go climb that 20,000-foot cliff that's filled with ice and water. He hasn't given us the impossible. He equips us fully, and the Bible tells us that. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read about the armor of God. And the soldier here is buckling on the armor and equipment that he needs to get the job done so that he can prevail. He has a helmet of salvation, Ephesians 6 and 17, to protect the old noggin. He gives us a breastplate of righteousness, chapter 6 and 14, to protect the vital organs, and to protect the foundation, chapter 6 and verse 15, shoes to do so. He's given us everything that we need to fully serve Him today. And then last, my friends, I guess the question is, then what is your desire? What is your will? He has given you a base, a foundation, a hope to lean your soul upon. He has equipped us with everything that we need to be most efficient and to be at peace with Him. So what are we going to do with it? You have to know that the God of peace has a plan for you. Isaiah 43 and verse 7, to please Him. You have to know that the God of peace has worked for you. For we all have been created, those in Christ have been created His workmanship. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Are you ready to serve the Most High? You have to know the God of peace has big ideas, big plans, big works, and He wants to do these things through us. And what an amazing concept that God has these big plans, and He can use people like us that have no great social standing. We are not physically kings or princes or princesses or queens, but we have something greater. We have exciting possibilities that we can be the vehicle where the God of peace can obtain pleasure. You can be the vehicle to introduce Jesus, the Savior of humanity, to your neighbor. You can be the vehicle that teaches these little babes that we have in our congregations in their classrooms. You can be the hope and friend of an aged widow down the road who sees from no one, hears from no one. You can show her the God of peace. You can be the person that looks at the qualifications, men, of elders and deacons. Young men, you can look at the qualifications of deacons there in 1 Timothy 3 right now and decide that because the God of peace has done so much for me and has equipped me, I am going to work with my family, and we're going to qualify as a deacon, and I'm going to help serve the Lord in a specific office. Those older, more mature, and wiser can look at the qualifications of elders and say, I am going to shape my family and myself so that I can qualify to serve the Lord. Friends, you can be the vehicle that helps the God of peace by passing out tracts, sending missionaries, helping orphans. This world is dark today, and there is peace out there. Let's share the peace. What an awesome privilege it is to radiate the light of Christ to all men, to light up the world. And we can do so by sharing the words of peace that the God of peace sent through the Prince of Peace. And what a wonderful thought that we can have that type of relationship with the God of peace today. What a wonderful doxology that this book closes with. And notice in verse 21, just like in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, all of this is done through whom? Through none other than the Prince of Peace, Jesus, through whom be glory forever and ever. And friends, if we understand this prayer as God intended, then tonight we will make sure we have peace with God. If you have not been baptized into Christ, as we alluded to in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, you are at odds with Him. You do not have peace with God. But God has given us words of peace through the Prince of Peace. And if we obey those words, if we allow our faith in Christ Jesus to work, and we confess the name of Jesus before men, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, we will stand with Him at peace. That sword will be put back in the sheath. In Acts 2:37, they asked the audience that heard this first gospel sermon, what must we do? And Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward, this wicked generation, Acts 2, 40 and 41. How? By repenting and being baptized in the blood of the Prince of Peace. And if you have done that, but for some odd reason you have allowed the cares of this world to separate you from the peace that you can have in God, why would you go to bed tonight? Why would you put your head on the pillow tonight being haunted by the fact that you're not at peace with Him? Make peace. If you need to repent of sins for the local congregation, make that peace. If you have private sins in your life, make that peace. If you've been baptized into Christ and fallen, you know what you need to do. The God of peace has given you a safe place. If you don't have it, grab it tonight. He loves you. He cares for you. And His Son coming up from the grave is all of the proof you need that that's true. Thank you very much.